Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A little bit of housekeeping to start with, Andrew.
Yes.
Apologies that we weren't with you, our trusty, loyal listener, last week. I think the reason for that was fairly self-evident. Mm. Neither of us felt it was the right thing to be laughing and joking last Friday morning. I was a little hesitant about getting back in the seat today, if I was, but would like to send official thoughts, prayers, to the royal family. On the death, obviously, of Queen Elizabeth II, and this period of mourning continues with quite some impact, I have to say.
Amazing. Amazing scenes in London last night. 5 miles, 6 miles long. A queue of people at 3, 4, and 5 in the morning. Extraordinary. Extraordinary.
But we're here. We hope. What was she? She was a stalwart, wasn't she?
Oh, yes.
Her Majesty, the show must go on, was a view that she held dear. It hasn't this week in many respects. Didn't last week with the football. I've been uncomfortable all week about this weekend as well, you know.
I think we have to start sometime. I said to you in the week, I just think we maybe have got the weekends wrong. I thought we could have played last weekend as cricket did, as other sports did, racing continued, our favourite sport, it continued on that day. But I think the day before the funeral, like the weekend of the funeral, I think it might have been better had we played last week and not this week,
I still think we did the right thing. It's a difficult call.
And it was.
I don't think that those that had to make it were envied by anybody.
No.
The cricket, Andy, was confined to one arena.
Yeah.
The horse racing, I wasn't going to see millions of people crisscrossing the country.
That's
same with the golf,
true.
You know. So I think that, football's obviously often accused of being greedy, but because I think there was no cancellation insurance for those other events, they ploughed on. Yeah, and I wasn't sure that was right either. But listen, there's no perfect
damned
formula.
If you do and damned if you don't.
Exactly. So, I think this weekend, so close to the funeral, it's been bothering me, and it did. As to whether we should sit down again this morning, and I think we've made a decision whether it's the right one or not. Who knows?
No.
We shall be talking to a very, very popular man.
Well, he is in this room.
Not in terms of his character or individuality, but everybody wants to talk to him right now. That's David Dean, former vice chairman of Arsenal, who's got a book out at the age of 79.
Wow.
15 years he's waited to tell us why it was that he has finally told us why it was that he left Arsenal.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm not sure he has.
No, he probably hasn't known David. he's been, let's say, a little, no, I was going to say not liberal, but he's been cautious before what he said.
Yes.
Yes, about yes. That. Yeah,
that is David. He's not one for the limelight, and
he is
somebody I wanted to talk to for a long time.
We spent a bit of time with him, didn't we, in Portugal?
Yeah,
during the Euros.
We lunched and golfed, and he is always good company.
Mm.
Football owes him a lot.
Let me say something else as well. A lot of footballers owe him a lot.
Yes. Yeah, but football in general, yeah. He was the man that came up with the idea of the numbers and names on the charts.
Yeah.
That was David. He also was a great advocate of technology.
Was
so
he?
So
he's a VAR man.
As much as football owes it.
He's a VAR man.
He's the father of VAR.
Is he?
Oh dear. He's pushed for it for years.
Oh, dear.
I believe he's also, his current push is for 60 minutes of football during a game.
I'm looking forward to hear what he thinks about the... Well, he almost formed a Super League of sorts, didn't he, way back, helped form it.
Well,
and I'm wondering what he thinks of the recent...
How might life have been different if ITV had got the first deal rather than Sky?
And
he was at that time pushing for ITV.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I wonder how he feels about the Super League. And does he think it will rear its head again?
Well, hopefully we'll find out.
Yeah.
Hopefully we will find it. Potter out was trending on Twitter.
Oh, shut up.
After the Chelsea manager
shut
named
up.
His first ever lineup for
shut
the Blues
up.
For the Red Bull match.
Potter out. Get off. I can't
seriously.
Believe that.
One fan said, I don't see Fofana and I don't see Havertz. Hashtag Potter out. Another said, Mount starts, Potter out.
No.
And a third said, benching Fofana and Kubai for Azpilicueta, Potter out. I have to say,
I've got one or two pals that I have on a group site, and one or two of them are big Chelsea fans, Richard, and they were, let's just say, they were along those lines. They were less than convinced about what they saw team selection-wise. They were amazed that the two you mentioned, Fofana and Koulibaly, were left out of the team, and they felt it was an extraordinary thing. One or two other strange decisions that he made, substitute-wise, that they couldn't quite get their heads around.
I'm torn with it because I want young British coaches to find a way to the top. And this is in that respect, the perfect appointment. And I do wish him well. I like him a lot. But I kind of feel he was at his maximum where he was. And
do you think so?
He could get chewed up and spat out.
If I had said to you, right...
Very quickly,
who would you think would have more success at Chelsea? An inexperienced coach who was a Chelsea legend, or an inexperienced ex-player who's quite an experienced coach?
Well, and
it chewed up Frank, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Just the other night, post-match, and he started talking about Azpilicueta. You know, you've only been there 3 days. They're not your best mate yet. And they might never be, knowing that dressing room.
Mm.
So that slightly bothered me. Todd Boehly talking about 5 years and it's an evolution now. And it's not for Chelsea fans, I'm afraid.
Do you think he's learning a lot, Boehly, about what life in the Premier League's all about?
I still think he's convinced he's teaching us.
Shut up.
Absolutely.
Shut up.
And don't forget, this was a government appointment. He was the preferred bidder when Abramovich was for sale. So this is the sort of character you get in if you have an independent regulator too near football, which is why I've always said... Government should be nowhere near sport in general.
I was going to ask you about that this morning.
Nowhere near.
An independent regulator. Why are you anti? Go on.
For those reasons.
Right.
I mean, it's...
Do you see the logic in it at all?
No. It's mission impossible, Andy. I mean, where are you... We have this fit and proper, and it's never really been...
No, it's not.
...used in the sense that it was supposed to be.
Keezy, if it was used to the letter, then very few owners would be owners.
A popular word, optics. I always use the Derby County example, Mel Morris. What would you want... Who would you want to own a football club? Local business, tick. Successful businessman, tick. Fan of the team, tick. Ambitious, tick. Yeah. All of the qualities that you would want in an owner. And look at what happened.
Yeah.
Do you want the class of 92 to run your football club?
Yeah.
And break every financial guiding factor in League Two for those around and about. It's just for me, it's not the right thing to do.
That could happen.
I think
whose choice is it then? So I'd like to ask this because
it'll be government led.
You'll have to forgive my ignorance.
It's your lot. You speak to your prime
my
minister
lot.
About it because she.
My
she,
lot. Yeah. What's my lot?
The Tories.
Not at all. I'm neither Tory nor Labour. I'm not. I think neither of them are good enough to be running our country.
Well, somebody's got to.
Well, I don't care. I think I might vote Liberal this time if I get a chance. But I don't vote. I've not voted for 10 years.
I don't think Truss is as much of a fan, but she was right. Don't forget, she was right at the heart of the Newcastle takeover. She was pushing hard for the Saudis to be given the green light.
I thought it was
Boris. Now, Johnson, she was foreign secretary. It was handed down the line. It was a government deal at the end of the day. Government pressure at the end of the day. They got that done, and she was part of that. So, optics.
The optics, yeah.
If they feel it looks good
on my wall,
and they think it's popular, yeah, there's every chance it'll
get through.
The optics are on my wall.
The optics are on my wall. There you go. A little small one, Andy. Thank
so,
you.
No, I don't fear because I don't really care. And it's always been my belief.
Could it harm the game?
What, independent regular? Yeah, I think it probably could. Well, look at this. I mean, Todd Boehly, American, you know, open-minded, a lot of money. He's convinced he's right and we're all wrong. It was like my mother when she was in the ATS in the war. She was the only one in step.
Yeah. Everyone else was out of step. Yes. You got that.
So I think he is of that mind. I don't mind the All-Star game. I think it's not a bad idea. Yeah. If it replaced the community shield.
It needs some thought. Yeah, but it's not a bad idea.
We can't just say no immediately. Nope. But you know, for Potter, Chelsea fans are not going to sit back and wait for another 4 years for a trophy. When Arsene Wenger was... In the seat at Arsenal, Andy, over the last 10 years, Chelsea had 7 managers and won 11 trophies.
Yeah.
Now, that's what they want.
Yeah.
Constant change. Now, what did JT say to us on the podcast? It's great. Refreshes everybody.
Does.
Keep changing the coach.
I know. And it worked at Chelsea. I mean, obviously, other things worked at Arsenal. Other things worked at United. Look at United, though. They've gone from having a coach for 25 years and winning everything to having, in 10 years, what, 7 coaches, probably?
I can never hear the word or the phrase winning 9. Everything without thinking of Graham. When we were winning
everything. Graham Souness, in case you didn't guess. Yeah, a good pal. But that's what I'm saying. So there's United, who had an amazing manager who stayed the course of
time. Too long.
Yeah, but
too
it might have been 25 years, was what I'm saying. It was, yes, I get you.
United
too
should have, they all should have agreed, I think, 5 years before he
maybe
left. That the time is right for change now. While we're at the top, the same as Fergie used to change his teams.
That's right.
We need to change the coach now. Alex.
Correct.
Because
whilst
we're sitting back doing what you've done for 25 years, everybody else has moved on.
Correct.
And they're now still paying the price for that.
Well, they are. They've had 7 coaches and they've won 3 trophies.
Yeah.
None of them really, well, the Europa League, I suppose, is quite important. But
do you know what I like most about this? When we sit down, no idea what we're going to do.
Nor have I.
Or discuss.
Well, I keep saying to you, what are we doing today? I don't know.
Just
waffle.
Two old gits.
Hey, steady on. Gets I'll take.
First female footballer, only a matter of time now. Ciara Walsh, that move from Manchester City to Barcelona for 400,000. Mm-hmm. This from The Times, Molly Hudson. She's right. It is only a matter of time.
For what? Sorry.
First £1 million.
Oh, £1 million.
Footballer.
Yeah. Well, that's a big jump from 400 to a million yet still. That might take a few years.
Well, there was a big jump between, what was it, Rio Ferdinand at 40 and Neymar at 110.
Yeah.
But it happened.
Yeah, it did.
At last, the Sun have picked up on what I actually have been thinking and was going to blog about this coming Monday. You know, we talked about the World Cup here being timed to perfection in terms of fitness for players.
Yes.
And I stand by that.
Mm-hmm.
What if the players aren't playing?
Yeah, I know.
Pickford,
Harry Maguire.
Injured.
Harry Maguire.
You wouldn't... Trent Alexander-Arnold, you wouldn't include him in a starting lineup at the moment.
Maguire,
Mings, Shaw. Yeah. Go through it.
I know. That's your back four, mainly.
Your midfield. Mount, out of form at the moment.
Well, he's out of form, but that, you know.
Calvin Phillips doesn't get a game.
No.
Sterling, faced like a spanked arse the other night when he came off. Made a move and thought, you know, I'm regenerated, but you know, hit the wall very quickly.
That's got nothing to do with the timing of the World Cup, though.
No, I'm saying, but the World Cup is... No, I'm not in terms of the scheduling. Uh-huh. The World Cup's coming at the wrong time because these... Grealish.
Listen, there's what have we got? 2 months?
This is the starting 11.
We've got 60. How many days have we got?
These boys aren't there, but these boys... 60 days? These lads aren't going to get in and in form in that time.
Yeah, well, a lot of them will.
Who?
Well, a lot of them will get back. I'll find form.
Maguire.
Oh, well, Maguire won't. I mean, they've got a problem with Harry Maguire. There's no doubt
Grealish.
About that. Grealish and
Calvin Phillips.
Well, would you say they're fundamentally important to England?
Yes.
What, Calvin Phillips?
Yes.
No. He's all right, Calvin Phillips, but come
that's
on.
That's our view. He was the player of the tournament
maybe,
at the Euros.
That's debatable. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I think you've got massive problems with that at the moment, certainly at the back, with the centre-backs. So look at your centre-backs. Who are your centre-backs?
Well, it'll end up being Dyer, who I think at the very highest level isn't good enough. I mean, most weeks at Tottenham, okay.
John Stones? You don't like him, do you?
I don't fancy Stones.
There you go, see? You're an
Englishman. Wouldn't go to war with him, would you?
Well, you know, but he's an option. Who else is there? Kyle Walker playing as a right-sided centre-back. He's done it. He's used that many times. Maybe that's why he plays three, because he doesn't trust two.
But,
you don't have two.
But you don't
trust.
Look at that starting 11, the one that most would pick, and think to yourself, cool, they're banging form. They could sweep the rest away, do you?
Yeah, but you look at that, you would look at them and say, well, yeah, they're banging form. I hope they still are in 2 months' time. Football's a strange business when you're playing. You can find form. Mm. You can also lose it.
Do you remember Gordon Taylor buying, in 1999, I read here, a Lowry for $1.9 million?
For the PFA?
Going to the match. It's to be sold at Christie's this week, expected to be fetching something in the region of $8 million. Oh, wasn't a bad piece of business then, it turned out, was it?
That's a good piece of business.
All that money goes to a player's welfare.
Good.
Including health, education, legal matters.
Good.
So he wasn't such a fool after all. He got hammered when he bought that painting. And he did say at the time, it's only going to go one way in terms of value.
It's an investment.
He was right.
The future. Yeah.
Have we done properly All-Star game?
Not properly. You kind of said you're not against it. We should give it some thought. I agree with that. We should give it some thought. I'm neither 100% with it or 100% against it. I think it's something that, it's like the clock in the corner. Should we do it? Should we not? It's numbers on the shirt. Should we do it? It's names on the shirt. Should we do it? Should we not?
It's progress.
You try it, and if it works, fine.
A very famous David Dean would say, you can't stop the tide coming in.
No.
I bet he does.
Well, he's tried.
This made me smile. It's a difficult one for you, I know, because he's a lad that you like a lot, but I gave space to flourish when he moved to Manchester City.
Jack Grealish,
and hoped,
you're talking about Jack Grealish.
He looks a broken man. Fans slam Pep Guardiola for coaching the flair out of Jack Grealish. I don't think he's done anything of the sort. If Jack hadn't spent his summer pissed
and
running around with his mates, Andy, and working a bit harder.
He didn't do anything in the summer that most young professionals didn't do, a lot of them single professionals.
I only saw him doing it.
Yeah, there was lots to do it. They do. You know they do. Listen, I'm sad because I think the boy is an immense talent. And I thought he would flourish under Guardiola, but he hasn't flourished. He's shrunk to me. He looks a fraction of the player he was at Aston Villa. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. He's fit.
Well,
he's available.
Have I put the finger on it for you?
No, I don't agree with that. I would be horrified if that were the case. And I don't think Guardiola would have allowed that anyway. That's not something that's acceptable in the modern game. You might in the summer go and enjoy yourself, let your hair down, and go.
You think?
Are you saying since he went back into pre-season training that Jack Grealish should have been large in it? I don't get that.
Meet you halfway. If you're going to behave like that, then don't splash it all over the social.
No, media. I agree with you. That I do agree with.
Because there's only one thing going to happen. People like me are going to jump all over that.
You are. So I agree with you. I am seriously concerned about Jack Grealish's future at City because, Guardiola won't put up with that for a start. He's already shown that. He can't get in the team for important games. He's taken off more when he starts. He comes on for 5 minutes. That's not Grealish. Grealish did flourish. Now he might have coached the individuality out of him a little bit. That may be the case.
I said to you when he went, I thought he was the wrong player for the wrong team. Mm. Slowed things down. Always wants a trick, step over, get fouled. Mm. You know, ball stops at him. He has failed to score or assist in 35 of his 44 matches.
I'd like to sit here and argue with you, and I can't argue with those stats. I'm not a great stats man.
If I'm Villa, I'm putting a bid in. I said a year ago.
You did,
30, 40 mil. He'd go home and he would be the player that we know he is. I said I'd build an England team around him after the Euros.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's amazing. The Euro seems a long way off for Jack right now.
Yeah. Bournemouth are up for sale. If Maxim Den Im, they're Russian born, but he's a British citizen, owner, sells to an American.
Another one.
That will be half of the Premier League clubs.
Can I say American?
That are owned by Americans. How about that?
Are we concerned?
Again.
I'm just saying, are we concerned?
We opened the gate many years ago, didn't we?
It's
far too late now.
My mother used to say, no use shutting the gate when the horse is bolted.
I did like this one. Diego Costa got his first booking at Chelsea because John Terry and co. told him that the word for sorry was actually...
Not sorry. It was a bad word. Yeah.
So he got booked by a ref, or he was.
That's funny.
He was told off by a ref, and according to JT, as he walked away, he muttered the word. Ref called him back and said, "I'm sorry, what did you say?" Striker repeated the expletive to his face, prompting the referee to summon Captain Terry. The shocked Whistler, say the son, of course, told JT what had happened, and the legendary Chelsea icon just burst out laughing. Said, "I'm sorry, we told him it meant sorry."
Well, I did that. It's funny enough, I did that with Rachel when I first started getting out here years and years ago, and she went to meet my mother for the first time. My mother's from Stornoway, as you know, and speaks Gaelic. And
I'm not liking this.
No, it was. And I said to you, listen, I'd be really impressed, my mother, if you go and say to her.
No.
Yeah. If you go and say to her this phrase. So I said this phrase, so she practiced it and practiced it. And she went up and she said, "Hello, Mrs. Gray." I won't say it because there'll be some Gaelic listeners who will know what it is. And I just burst out laughing. My mother's eyes nearly popped out her head.
It obviously wasn't what your mother was expecting to hear.
No, my mother was expecting to hear something, and it was away and
yeah,
do something.
Yeah. This surprised you. Antonio Conte, only 13 wins in the Champions League, 12 defeats, 11 draws. With the teams that he's managed.
I know. 12 defeats. 12 defeats.
12 defeats, 11 draws, only 13 wins.
So that's average.
Only one half.
That's average. That's average. It's pretty much wins, draws, and losses are pretty much the same, aren't they? 11, 12, and 13. Yeah. That's not great for him, is it?
No.
That's not great for
him. What do you think? Chelsea?
Yeah.
Juve, Inter?
Yeah. Spurs?
Spurs.
No.
Rio Ferdinand reports that he had a conversation with Todd Burley, who was discussing playing 4-4-3.
The same as you. Remember you played that. what do you think, Keezy? Well, I think you'll play 4-4-3. Nope. It's illegal for a start. Todd Bowley said that. No, he never. He never.
Premier League set to introduce semi-automated offsides instead of the manual lines that are drawn on.
Is that the one that we're watching in Europe at the moment?
Yep. Highest selling shirt in the MLS, or I should say MLS, because it's not that. Yes.
Oh, good shout.
He's not having a very good time at the moment, but still playing. Who's the second? You'll never get... This is a bit like me calling you when Newcastle appointed Jack Kinnear and saying to you, "I'll give you a million guesses.
And a million
and
pounds.
And if you guess right, I'll give you my house as well." Yeah. Who have Newcastle just appointed as their manager?
I have no idea how to...
No.
Right, hold on. It's... Is it British?
No.
Oh.
Played in the Premier League.
I think, right. It's Chicharito.
No.
Oh.
Christian Fuchs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Christian Fuchs.
The second most?
Yeah.
Wow.
Carlos Vela is second. Javier Hernandez from Galaxy, third.
That's him.
Josef Chicharito. Martinez, Atalanta. Who else have we got down here? Shaqiri at Chicago Fire.
He scored the other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
He scored a penalty the other day.
But Christian Fuchs surprises me.
Wow, it does surprise me. I think if Ronaldo went there, he might take that mantle. Quite sharpish.
Harry Kane to Bayern Munich at the end of the season.
Really?
It's a speculation. Bayern are making overtures, apparently.
Would you go to the Bundesliga from the Premier League?
Yeah, I would if I was Harry.
Why?
Because I'm going to win things with Bayern Munich.
Oh, so you mean?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
If I'm playing with Bayern Munich.
He hasn't won anything, has he?
Nothing.
No, he's not won anything.
I'm definitely making that
would
move.
How tragic? Would that be tragic for him? I mean, you think of Harry Kane and what he's contributed goals-wise and what he's contributed to that team. If he stays there, and if, I hope not, but if they didn't win anything, what would you think when you sat down and you'd retired? Would you think a career wasted?
Ask Alan Shearer.
That's what I mean. Would you think, but Shearer won the title, didn't
one.
He? Won. Yeah, no, but he still did it. He's won more than Harry.
But if he'd gone to Manchester United, I did a dinner in town with them once, him and Alex Ferguson, star turns, and it was as the dust was settling and they were beginning to talk to each other again, and Fergie at the mic made the point that if Alan had signed for Manchester United, and I've told this story before, I have here, if Alan had signed for Manchester United, he would have won a lot more. And Alan took this on the chin, looked back at him and said, so would you.
Well, you have pushed to win more, Fergie, wouldn't he? Well, 13 Premier League titles.
He'd have won a few more European Cups.
He might have done, yeah. See, Alan might have been his Haaland, I think.
Mm.
We should
This one just leapt out at me, probably not many others, but Manchester United's players last week took part in a wrong-footed training session.
Yeah.
After Erik ten Hag noted a shortage of left-footed players in his side. If this had happened at school in the under-12s, as it used to when I played, I would say, players are growing up and maybe might think a little bit about the foot that isn't their favourite and using it more often.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester, I mean, would you have had a training session with Alan Ball and said, hey, Bally, you need to use your left foot a bit more? His right foot was magic.
Sorry, Messi, Lionel, you need to use your right foot a bit more. No, I don't. Ronaldo, I wonder how Ronaldo took to that.
Well,
it's a strange one for me for senior pros like that.
Maradona. Hey, Diego, right foot only. Yeah. Really?
That goal he scored against England, are you looking at the many touches he had with his right foot? I don't think it was any. I remember watching Van Nistelrooy score a goal at Old Trafford when he picked it up just inside his own half, spun. And I thought, whatever foot it was.
Oh, it was right foot.
Was it right foot?
Right, all the way.
Did you notice for that goal? I said he had 14 touches of the ball, 13 were with his right
foot. Scored at the Stretford end, tucked it in the outside of his right foot.
Correct. Yeah. Then I thought, there you go.
So you see, if I'm a senior professional at Manchester United and the coach turns up and says,
I want you to just use your.
I'm just looking back at him and going, no,
I'm not at school.
No, this we're Manchester United. See this left foot here? That's why I play for Manchester United. You see that? I'm quite good with it. I don't need to be worrying about that. I listen, Glenn Hoddle, wonderful, fabulous. When you see someone that can play as
those
well,
are exceptional.
They're exceptional.
Listen, the best player in the world, or one of them, for the last 15 years, has been a guy who's plays left footed pretty much every time he gets a hold of football. You don't see Messi do an awful lot with his right foot.
No, so I just think that's small-minded coaching. I don't.
Yeah.
What's going to change?
You still.
Yeah, I am
of the opinion that he's not here for the long term.
I'm
going to give him a chance. But that was a strange one for me. We'll have a training session and we'll do that.
I think it's a race between Eric 10 months and Graham Potter now. And I can sit back and not care because my team are sitting rock solid bottom of the championship.
But you've got games in hand.
We've got 3 games in hand. We've got a good point at Luton.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you know what I like most about the point Coventry got at Luton? I'm glad I reminded myself. Luton were furious. Nathan Jones felt they should have had a penalty late on at 2-2. Absolute stick on, apparently.
Right.
Mark Robbins came out and didn't say...
No, it wasn't a penalty.
He said, we got away with one.
Well, that's good.
What's wrong with a coach doing that? Patrick Vieira the other week did himself no favours at Newcastle.
No.
He should have just said...
We got away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. Because, I don't know why coaches are reluctant to say...
As coaching, you need to be in a group to confront the nonsense that we've had to sit through during Mike Riley's time at PGMOL.
Correct.
You know, you need to be as a collective and to come out and break step like that. Patrick. So I was really impressed with Mark, who said, we got away with one there.
I think coaches should do that. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying, we were a bit lucky there?
Yeah.
And trying to form some sort of excuse.
Names on shirts. Premier League itself. Automatic offsides, technology, goal line technology initially. He always said he'd get it in for offsides and matters of fact. It's strayed beyond that. Game's changed. Can't stop the tide coming up the beach.
Nope.
All these things.
I'll tell you what the tide does do.
It goes out.
Yeah.
We should talk to our guest, David Dean, the former vice chair of Arsenal. The Arsenal.
The Arsenal.
David, good morning.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Andy and Richard. I'm fine. I trust you are too.
Yeah.
I hope you're not tired yet of the publicity that has surrounded the launch of Calling the Shots, How to Win in Football and Life by David Dean. Mm. My first question, David, why has it taken you this long to write this book?
Richard, that's a very good question, and the answer is pretty simple. I've really never had the time or the inclination, and the inclination simply because I always try to think forward. I never want to think back. When you're writing a book, you've got to think of everything that's happened in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a few years. And for me to do that, I would be actually probably taking up time that I could use more productively on something I'm doing going forward. So it was only really during lockdown that the idea came to me.
I like that.
Yeah, good answer. I do. You know, David, when you think about writing a book, someone like me, for instance, right, I would look back over the years and think, oh, goodness, I can't remember this. Keezy knows me. I'm hopeless for remembering things. Were you able to recollect everything clearly on your own, or did you have to have input to jog the memory about certain things?
I must say you get hazy over certain things. And of course, I had to get, firstly, I had two wonderful ghostwriters with me. You know, it's all about assembling a team, mm-hmm. which I'm no stranger to.
Two ghostwriters.
I did. Unusually two. Why? Because
of course
I,
you
I thought, well, no, only for this reason. My Arsenal life, which takes up about 45% of the book, I thought the best writer possible would be Amy Lawrence because she is everything Arsenal.
Yeah, I know Amy.
Everything about Arsenal she knows. So I thought I'd use Amy for the... And she did the book on 89. She did a book on the Invincibles. So I chose her. She actually didn't have the time to do all the rest. And then I thought, well, I really want... Who is the best journalist that I know... apart from you two guys.
Well, this will be very interesting. Go on.
Was Henry Winter of the Times.
Of course.
And I spoke to Henry and he said he'd like to do it.
Lord Henry.
So he did my early life, my business life. He did the Premier League, which is a big chapter in itself. Then he did after Arsenal, including a Super League chapter. And it just flowed from there. And it was a wonderful, I must say, it was a joy. I had a good time. We had a lot of laughs along the way. They were great. They were very professional. And it was an enjoyable experience at first, being my one and only book.
Okay, let's put... this is personal to us, obviously, and you'll understand when I ask you. How different do you think life would have been if ITV had got the first live football commentary and not Sky?
Oh, yeah.
No, well, you've got to give Sky a lot of credit. And Richard, how many years were you there fronting it?
22.
Yeah, 22, something like that.
22. And were you both at the same? Did you both?
Yes.
At the same time?
We arrived right from the onset. We arrived, David, and left at the same time.
There you go. Well, you're a wonderful double.
Now, I don't want you to be. I don't want you to do what you normally do now and over compliment and you know be kind. But it was a real showdown. You were in that meeting, I guess, that Alan Sugar left and had to tell Sam Chisholm he was way off the numbers. Do you think life would have been very different had it gone the other way?
Well, I think what Sky have managed to do is give football what ITV and BBC couldn't do, and that's something called tender loving care, because they had the time. And I put this in the book, whereas ITV or BBC would cram it in between, I don't know,
Coronation Street
and News at 10 or something, right? Sky gave it an hour beforehand, even more, and an hour or so afterwards, but, you know, which they didn't have the other channels. And then they really revolutionized, I think, the way it was broadcast, the way it was filmed. They were innovators, there was no doubt. So although it obviously went to a smaller audience because it's a subscriber base, and I always wanted to see at least some games available on terrestrial to make sure that the bulk of the public...
Yeah, you were right.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing, obviously, that the Beeb took on the match of the day still. So that was where I was coming from.
Well, no need to name them, but how many would you say you had to persuade? How many went into that room thinking ITV and BBC, the usual cartel, and that you had to turn around and persuade that actually the other road is a better road for us?
Well, if we all remember correctly, our mate Trevor East was on the door working for ITV in those days, shoving new figures into the hands of those that were about to make the decision, wasn't he?
You're going to have to read the book. You've got a copy of the book.
No, listen, David, as you say that, I understand entirely what you're saying, because that you write a book and then everybody...
I asked you about it.
So you're quite right to steer us in that direction. I'm glad you've covered it. Okay, how much resistance was there initially to names and numbers?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. Well, there was one lovely... When I put them up, I remember putting Adams number 6, Shearer number 9, Giggs number 11... somebody said, you can't have them. I said, why not? He said, it's too much laundry room. You can't afford this place.
That's amazing.
Richard and Andy, that's what I had to deal with. People were the substitutes. People didn't want a second substitute because it was an extra bonus, an extra hotel room, and that sort of thing. But it was small thinking. It was difficult to convince anybody.
And when, your thoughts then, David, I mean, way back then, what are we talking now? 30 years ago?
You're talking about
92. 92. Though, your vision, you had a vision, obviously. You thought to yourself, this can do this. But surely even you, David, didn't think it would become the giant that it has.
Nobody could. Because what's happened, the exponential growth has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I remember saying at the time, and I use this phrase, that we knew we had an aeroplane on the runway. We just didn't know how high it was going to fly.
Yeah.
And it's gone to the stratosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, it has.
And you guys played a big role in it. I mean, you were fantastic for 20-odd years.
Very kind of you to keep... I didn't quite catch that, David. What did you say again?
Yeah. Have you repeated that in the book, David? Thank you.
Right, David.
I don't know. If not in the second, if there is a second edition, I'm not sure.
Let's not keep looking back.
Yep.
The book is available. I will be one of those that's about to. Well, I'm flying back Monday. So is it
online yet?
Yeah. Is it online? Can I? Anyway, calling the shots: How to Win in Football and Life by David Dean. Now then, having done that, can we look forward? When are we going to get 60 minutes of football out of a match?
Guaranteed.
Now you're talking. Okay, so this is a campaign I've been on for about 3 years
now. I'm with you.
Yeah. These campaigns normally last between 5 and 10 years. Before, I mean, even the magic spray, the 9.15, the 10-yard spray, that took 5 years to come in. And now everybody accepts it. It's straightforward. Goal line technology took about 8 years to come in. When I used to have that dancing bear, do you remember? I had that video. I was playing all the time, the basketball match, with a guy doing the Michael Jackson moonwalk across, and nobody could see him. I said, that's why we need goal line technology, because the camera will always be behind. So you know that from broadcast.
Don't get too deeply into this. I never had a problem with the goal line technology, only that it was the thin end of the wedge, and you got your own way with VAR, which, as you know, I was very much against.
Me too.
Except it's here. Yep. Got to find a way to make it work in the Premier League. That debate's over, David. But the 60 minutes, I'm with you. It would change the game entirely. So how far away are we from being able to get it through?
Okay. Well, the good news is it's on the agenda now, finally, on IFAB, that's the International Football Association board.
Good.
And Arsene sits on that board, and he is a convert. I think he would he's up for it to put in. So it's going to be trialled, I think, next season. We could see it in a couple of years, is the answer.
And the 60 minutes, just to clear it for anyone who's listening, David, 60 minutes, it doesn't mean, let's say, for instance, in an extraordinary game that... We've had 60 minutes of actual football after 85 minutes. They're not going to blow the whistle and say, that's time up. It's a minimum we're looking for of 60 minutes, is it?
Yeah, what it is, there'll be a clock rather like basketball of two halves of 30 minutes. So the clock only starts when the ball is in play. When the ball goes out of play, it stops.
Okay.
And it cuts out all the histrionics about rolling around and falling around and penalties and the rest. And the goalkeeper going over the post and kicking his boots and things and all that nonsense and substitutions. There was a game the other day. I think it was Liverpool-Newcastle. I think Liverpool scored in the 98th minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I use a clip from last year of Liverpool. I think it was Liverpool's third goal against Arsenal. Alisson took the goal kick. There were three touches before Mo Salah put the ball in the net. How long did the whole move take from start to finish?
20 seconds.
You know this, Richard and Andy. It took 10.4 seconds. It was timed, and I'm happy to send you the clip. In fact, I used it when I was in your studios doing that presentation, and Pierluigi Collina and Massimo Busacca, the referees, were in there. Do you remember when I was there last?
I remember well. Yes.
So 10.4 seconds. When you ask the referees, tell me, are you accurate for the last 10.4 seconds. They look at you blankly and say, no, it's guesswork.
Well, of course it is. Well, it's not good enough in a modern game.
America put a man on the moon in 1969, and we can't tell how long a game lasts.
Well, that absolutely.
David,
right.
can I just ask?
Sorry, before you do.
Yeah.
That's where you're right. It does cut out all that time wasting and the histrionics and the rolling around.
What I want to clear up, David, you talk about the getting rid of the histrionics and the time wasting. But what are we going to stop the clock every time the ball goes out for a throw in a corner? Natural breaks in the game I'm talking about.
Yeah, but the game doesn't break. Unless I've got you wrong, David. The clock stops and the game carries on.
No, I know. But of what I'm saying is the clock stopping every time it goes for a throw in or a corner?
Yes.
Wow.
The game is carrying on. It's just that the clock, right? So you're getting value from, you're actually getting 60 minutes because the average game lasts in play between 58 and 61 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have, and then funny enough, it depends on different parts of the world, right? Actually, it varies a little bit. Obviously, climate and things, but the game sometimes is played a little bit more slow. But certainly in Western Europe, it's somewhere between 58 and 61 minutes.
That game you talked about, Newcastle-Liverpool, was the ninth highest this season, David. Ball was in play, I think, 58-40 or something of that nature.
I thought they were accused of time wasting.
They were, but that was really was nonsense. In fairness, I think we've had four games this season over 60, and the rest. David's right; the rest approaching that mark. So play through to the hour is my view. I mean, I'm an advocate. I think it's a great idea, and it does stop people, as we've said, rolling around and time wasting. Are you happy with what we have been delivered with as far as VAR is concerned, or are there other tweaks that you would like to make going forward?
What everybody has, there's two facts I'm going to give you, and you know them well, Richard, because we've discussed this on WhatsApp all the time. The first one, before VAR, the refs were making one game-changing error every three games. People forget that. And that cost relegation, promotion, getting into Europe, right? One game changer every three, and that was too much. Today, and if you saw, you remember, it was only introduced in 2018 in the World Cup in Russia when it was virtually flawless. And now, but you don't agree?
No, I'm, as you're talking, I'm looking at WhatsApp messages that I've sent you expressing my frustration with it. We will always have a disagreement, you and I, and Andy, I think, is with me on this one as to the necessity of it or whether actually it did work. I thought there was a howler in the final, but that got overlooked. No, I'm going forward. Are there other changes that you would make in order to ease the process forward?
Yes.
We're still in a learning. It's been going 4 years. You know, give it a chance. I mean, it's only been a year or so since we've introduced the on-field review with the referee, as you said before, Richard, going over to the monitor to check it. So, but there's two things that are going to happen next. One is offside, which is the most contentious. That is now going to be straightened out. There's more better technology coming in to define offside. The second thing is the spectators need to understand the decision.
Yes.
And that has to be broadcast by the referee, not by the VAR, by the referee himself. He's in charge of the game. He's the boss man. So he's got to say, right, penalty, foul on Harry Kane, whatever it was, right, and showing what it and it's got to be replayed at the same time. See what the decision was all about. At the moment, it's a national secret.
Well, that's where I was heading. So you believe that we will be able to share that conversation or listen to the conversation at the monitor, which is, I think, critical in terms of education, isn't it?
Well, that stage three, but certainly the result, why the decision was taken, has to be given. Like you see in American football, when the referee turns on his mic and he makes a gesture of pulling down the mask, and he'll say, holding, number 23, foul play, 10-yard penalty. Right, and that's what it was all about, and that's what you'll see eventually.
Well, the sooner we get to stage three for me, David, the better. And I understand now, as I repeat, we've had this conversation, more than you've probably wanted it, but we're somewhere where it's tolerable.
Yes, that would be nice.
I think it's improving year on year. We've been a bit slow, I must say. We've had probably more problems in England than in some other countries.
Why is that, David? Why is it?
He's not going to tell you, so there's
no... Is it in the book?
It's unfair.
I know.
He works with these guys.
I know, but I just wondered why we're so far behind everyone else.
Why. But David's not in a position whereby he can say.
Okay, David, sorry for putting you in that position. Sorry, my friend.
You got my friend. I don't want you in an invidious position.
I will always defend the referees because I call them an endangered species. Right? It's very rare that anybody ever compliments the referee.
Chance would be a fine thing.
Very rare that anybody. It's very rare that anybody ever compliments a referee,
and
it's a hard job. I think they are honest guys, but like they're humans, they will make mistakes.
Right. Well, I can't, you know, David.
Last week there was a bad week.
Yeah, last week was a shocker. But listen, again, we're looking forward. Thank you for your time. I wish you continued success as you promote the book and going forward, David. Going forward and with what there is to come.
And look forward to seeing you in a couple of months, David, obviously.
Just one last question. Is there anything you wanted to implement that you didn't get? And I'm talking outside of the 60 minutes now. Anything else that was in your mind you thought, you know what, football would benefit enormously from that, but it didn't get off the ground?
No, I think actually we are going in the right direction. Not a lot. I mean, you know, we've made so much progress over the years, and really post-Hillsborough, when you think of the dark days of 1980, with hooliganism and women not going. And now it's a family game. We haven't spoken about the women's game. Which
but let's, sorry, David, let me just make sure that the punctuation marks there, we are not aligning Hillsborough with hooliganism. They are two separate things entirely.
Absolutely.
Hillsborough, and there was a lot of hooliganism at that time, but Hillsborough was nothing to do with unrest of that nature.
No.
Let's be specific.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, one of my guests on Monday was Jenny Hicks. You may remember she was the mother who tragically lost two children at Hillsborough, and she actually was brave enough to come up on stage and discuss it and her fight to get justice. I'm going to send you guys I'll send it to you shortly. The recording of Monday night.
Okay. Do you mind very much, David, if we share that with a wider audience? Can we do that?
The link, yeah.
No, you can share the whole thing. It's in public.
Okay,
there were 1,200 people there.
Good.
So, but that actually, Hillsborough was one of the major, for me, the driving forces to change football.
Well, well done you, and thank you for your time, David. Your friendship down the years and your careful manipulation of different things to get us to where we are. Let's, I think, phrase it like that.
Yes.
That's very kind of generous of you guys, and we'll keep the humour going because that's so important.
Very much so.
Oh, absolutely, David.
Oh, yes, keep them coming. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
David
Appreciate
Dean,
that.
Former Vice Chair of Arsenal Football Club. Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
A pleasure as always. Enjoy. Bye.
The consummate politician.
Absolutely. He should be a politician, shouldn't he? Really.
He has been, really, during his time in the game. I'm sure there are many that will discuss the book and his memories.
Yep.
I just felt, Andy, that we were riding going in a different direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
To try and find out what's happening. And you've got reservations about 60 minutes, haven't you? I can see it on your face.
No, my reservation, Jesus, shall I tell you, yes, I get... Somebody goes down feigning injury or a goalkeeper's taking too much time. I get that. But what I'm talking about, the natural breaks in the game, like a corner and a throw-in.
But that wouldn't be... that. You're not interrupting that. It's
only
the clock.
But you're stopping the clock.
Yeah, so get on with it.
No, but what I'm saying is, I mean, there could be 20 corners, right? Now, a corner can take 30 seconds to take. By the time the ball's going out of play, messed about, centre-backs have got up, guys put it on the spot. It can take up to 30 seconds. If there's 20 corners, that's 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, but
that's
that,
10
that,
minutes.
That would be an exceptional example.
No, but honestly, that and throw-ins. What was it for a throw-in?
Get on with it.
Ten.
We won't have throw-ins going forward.
Kick-ins.
From your own half, there'll be kick-ins.
Nah, there won't
That's
be.
Another
another one. How many ask him about
it's
that?
It's another no. one.
That was another one Arsene and I argued over, wasn't it?
It's Arsene's idea, and it won't be that you can put the ball down and hoof it into the other half.
Why not?
Well, because that won't be allowed.
Oh, sorry. So now we're restricted
you
what you can
only
do.
Play
no,
within
no.
the half that
Where
you
are you, Arsene? We need to get Arsene on here.
He will do it for us. I know he will going forward. But it's just
no. But you understand where I'm coming from.
I understand totally. But I do think the upside is that it will stop players. Fernandez, how irritating is it watching him play football?
Yeah, I know that, but I get that. I'm happy with that.
Richarlison, there's another one.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get the guys to send me a game, and I'm going to stop the clock. When it goes out for a throw-in and when it goes for a corner, to see how many minutes that eats up.
When we started, it was something that was part of the stats, how long the ball had been in play.
Correct.
I think there's an emphasis now back on it, because it's really important that I think we get that right.
That
once you get
public,
beyond 60, you're robbing people of I get
good
that.
Money. But that's, to me, one thing is different from the other. The wasting of time, the feigning of injury, the rolling about, yes, stop the clock, wait till they're up and... A ball goes out for a throw-in, guy, stop the clock, guy goes, picks it up, throws it in, 5 seconds, that's okay. Maybe takes 20 seconds for another throw-in.
Got multi-ball, get on with it.
But they might, no, I just worries me a little bit that's all.
That's I understand all. Your concerns are logged, but I think the upside is better than what we have at the minute, which is, and then, you know, the debate about the Liverpool winner against Newcastle. And Newcastle hadn't wasted time that afternoon.
No.
They got the timing wrong. As soon as that ball goes out, referee's scared to blow his whistle.
Of course,
he's thinking,
yes.
I'll just wait till it comes in.
Correct.
And the worst thing that could have happened is Liverpool score.
Uh-huh.
That he must have been horrified. But, you know, he should have just said, right, okay, done. That's it.
Go off.
Yeah. That's it for this week. Thank you again for all of your, and I meant to say this a little earlier, all of your texts, messages, emails, social media contact, demanding that this podcast return.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Make me feel good?
No, we wouldn't be here, Andy, otherwise. It's a busy marketplace. There's a lot of people now
there are.
Podcasting. But backed by public demand is the phrase.
Oh, I like that.
Is touching.
And when we've got good technical staff behind us as well, it helps. I think when we get that, we'll be very good.
Portuguese techie, Luis,
we can't go there.
Right, okay.
No, we can't go there.
We'll see you back here next week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.